We're studying the book of James. We started last week in the book of James, and actually we started 2 weeks ago, and we talked about James as the person, and then last week we talked about trials, or as Gloria referenced, troubles. That's how the New Living Translation uses, is the word troubles. And so we're talking about trials, we're talking about troubles, and that's at least the first part of the book of James. And, you know, James was Jesus' brother, and he wrote this to the Jewish believers who were scattered across the Roman Empire. And they were some of their troubles might be very similar to ours. Some of them weren't. They were struggling with persecution, much greater persecution than we, you know, sometimes people in America say, oh, we're being persecuted, and we don't even know what persecution is in America when you compare it to what happened in the world, or you compare it to history. And but so there were persecution. They were also in financial troubles. There was famine. There was harvest. You know, harvests were not happening like they should. So there's a shortage of food. And they had been scattered. So they were not in Jerusalem or Israel any longer. They were now living in all kinds of other places where there was, you know, pagan gods and all kinds of other worship formats going on. So there was all kinds of troubles, as well as obviously the personal troubles that come and so on. And he wrote this letter to encourage them. And so we've already talked about who James was. We've talked about a little bit about troubles. Now today we're going to talk about wisdom that's needed in the trouble. So last week you spent the whole time talking about trouble, and but today we're going to talk about the wisdom that's needed in trouble. So here's how the passage goes. It'll be up on your screen. And it's James 1, beginning with verse 5. There we go. It says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with a divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. You know, he makes this statement. He says, if you lack wisdom, and it's right in the context of trials or troubles. He says, if you lack wisdom, then to ask God, and God will give it to you. You know, it's one of the great promises in the Scripture, this idea that if you need wisdom for something, you ask God, and God will give it to you. And it's an overall theme throughout the Scriptures. You know, one day with Solomon, he'd been the king of Israel, been anointed king and serving his king for, you know, a few years. And he went to sleep one night, and in his sleep he had a dream, and the Lord appeared to him in this dream, and the Lord said, ask me anything you want, and I will give it to you. Kind of like the magic genie, you know, like you get three wishes, what do you want, you know? And one of them should always be the what? Well, somebody said it. What? More wishes. If you ever have a chance to ask for three wishes, ask for one of them, ask for more wishes, okay? Just a little wisdom for you there. But Solomon asked, he says, you can ask anything you want. And what Solomon asked him for is, he said, I need wisdom. I need wisdom to lead the children of Israel, is what he said. And then God spoke to Solomon and said, because you didn't ask for fame, because you didn't ask for fortune, because you didn't ask for power, but because you asked for wisdom, I'll give you wisdom and I'll give you all of those other things you didn't ask for. And so Solomon became, as described, as this wisest man who ever lived. And here's how God responded to Solomon's prayer for wisdom. He said, because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice, and have not asked for a long life or wealth or death of your enemies, I'll give you what you asked for, and I'll give you a wise and understanding heart, such as no one has ever had or ever will have. That's a big statement, that he would give Solomon not only more wisdom than anybody's ever had, but that anyone ever would have. That means of us. I mean, that means for all time. So Solomon then, so, you know, this wisdom became this theme of his life, although Solomon didn't always make wise decisions, did he? If you know anything about Solomon, he made some bad decisions, but it became this theme of his life, wisdom, and so he spent his life collecting wise statements that were made. We call them Proverbs. Many of them are found in the book of Proverbs. Here's some of them. It says, Solomon starts out, he says, for the Lord grants wisdom. He knew all about that. Or getting wisdom, I love this part, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. So if you want to be wise, get wisdom. It's the wisest thing you can do. Or how about Daniel? Talk about someone who had troubles in life. I mean, Daniel gets taken as a prisoner of war to Babylon. He gets becomes a eunuch, made into a eunuch, not voluntarily, by force. He's made into a eunuch. And then all the troubles that he went through, the persecution, ultimately we know him because of Daniel what? And the lion's den. So you talk about troubles. I mean, if, you know, I mean, I don't think anybody in this room has been in a lion's den, right? not so. It says this, and Daniel says this, praise the name of God forever and ever, for he has all wisdom and power. He controls the course of world events. He removes kings and sets up others kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars. He reveals deep and mysterious things, and he knows what lies hidden in darkness, though he is surrounded by light. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors, that you have given me wisdom and strength. This idea of need for wisdom is this running theme through the scriptures. Paul prayed for the church, and he wrote in the book of Ephesians, he said, I'm praying for the church, and then encouraging church leaders to pray that God would give the church, you and me, the spirit of wisdom, that we would have this wisdom in our lives. And so, so the context is, he says, ask. If you're in the middle of a trial, ask God for wisdom. And then he uses this line. He says, and our generous God will give it to you. Our generous God will give it to you. You know, the idea being that God's not somehow, he's not stingy. You know, he's not selective in who he gives it to. He just, if you ask for wisdom, it doesn't matter how much education you have or don't have, how much wealth you have or don't have, what your family background, broken family, healthy family, it doesn't matter. If you lack wisdom, he says he's generous and he will give it to you. He'll just give you that wisdom. And it's interesting, he says not only is he generous and that he'll give it to you, but he also, he says, and he won't rebuke you for asking. That's a great line. Because if you just think about how many times, you know, you might ask someone for advice and they kind of roll their eyes at you like, you dummy, don't you know this? I mean, haven't you learned this by now? Do you have to get someone to teach you or give you wisdom? It's like he won't rebuke you. He won't make fun of you. He won't mock you. He won't ridicule you. You just ask and he will generously, he just pour his wisdom out upon you. That's the promise right there. And so he says, if you're in the middle of a trial, you just ask our generous God and he'll give it to you. And if that's true, if God's generous, he will give us wisdom and he won't make fun of us, you know, or ridicule us for asking. Let's do a little brainstorming here for a minute. Why don't we ask God for wisdom more? Okay, let me say that one more time. Okay. If God's generous and he will give his wisdom freely, without mocking us or ridiculing us or making fun of us, why don't we ask for wisdom more often? Somebody throw out a thought. What's this? We don't want to know the answer, okay? Is somebody else said something over here? Because we're not wise, okay? Okay? Pride? Pride gets in the way. What else? Lack of faith, okay? You ask for it, yeah. Many of us ask. I mean, but do we ask for it often enough? You know, do we just ask for it in those parenting moments or those grandparenting moments or those finance moments? You know, too often, I mean, you know, having raised 5 kids, too often you revert back, you know, you just go back to how you were parented, or you go back to how, you know, something you did before, rather than in that situation, Lord, what's the wisdom? I mean, what do I do right now? How do I do this? And but his promise is that he's generous and he doesn't make fun of us. And you know, it's and he says this idea being that we would ask and he gives it generously and that we would trust him that he's going to give it to us. I mean, one of the passages of scriptures, everybody in this room should know at least a portion of it, if not all of it. And if you haven't, you need to. But it's in Proverbs chapter 3. It goes like this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. And then that's where most of us stop. But then it goes on in verse 7. It says, do not be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. I mean, Solomon says you just have to trust the Lord. And what? Trust him what? With all of your heart. That's what he says. With all of your heart. And then God will provide the answer, the wisdom that we need. So the question last week, when, you know, you're in the middle of troubles, you got troubles going on, you know, Gloria referenced what I talked about, you know, you're going into a trouble, you're in a trouble, you're coming out of a trouble. In the middle of that word, the question always is, am I going to trust? And here the question is, and who am I going to trust? And the question here is, am I going to trust in God's wisdom that God's going to provide for me? And then he goes on. He says this, a person, and he gives to it, do not waver. He says, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea. So he says, when you ask, you trust that God's going to give you that wisdom, and don't be divided. Don't waver in the middle of it. Don't let this, instead you become like a tossing of the sea. And this idea of a divided loyalty is another one of the themes that runs through the scriptures. This idea of a divided loyalty. And the word is just comes down to, you know, this person who can't, you know, I don't know, I'm indecisive. Not indecisive about the decision, but indecisive of who I'm going to trust. That's what the indecisiveness is about. Not like, oh, I don't know what to do in this situation. That you don't know what to do in that situation, and that's why you're asking for what? For wisdom. So it's not the indecisiveness about what I'm supposed to do, but it's the indecisiveness. Am I going to trust in God's wisdom, or am I going to trust in my own wisdom? Am I going to trust in God's wisdom, or am I going to trust in the world's wisdom, the way the world wants to do it? And he says this whole idea of divided loyalty, again, is a running theme. You know, Elijah that day, the time, and some of you will know this story, some of you may not be familiar, but Elijah was a prophet in the Old Testament, and there was the other god that people were following after was called the god of Baal. And so he got together in this competition one day with the prophets about calling down fire from heaven. Some of you might have heard me refer to this story, but call down fire from heaven, and the prophets of Baal couldn't get the fire to come down, and then Elijah calls, the fire comes down, and then Elijah says this to the people around, and it said to the people that were in front of him. He says, then Elijah stood in front of the people, and he said, how much longer will you waver, hobbling between one opinion and the other? Baal, God. Baal, God. Matt's opinion, God, what God says. You know, that whole idea of going back and forth. And he says, hobbling between two opinions. If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. But the people were completely silent. He says, you guys, why are you going back and forth between this God and that, this and that, this and that? He says, but they couldn't answer. Maybe because they didn't like Janet, maybe because they didn't want to hear the answer. Or they knew what the answer was. Or what Jesus said. He said, love the Lord your God with how much of your soul? All your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Or Jesus said this. He said, no one can serve two masters. For you will hate one and you will love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't be divided. And that's what James is saying, this whole idea of loyalty, the divided loyalty. And then notice what he says about the people. He says, because if you have divided loyalty when you're asking, he says this. He says, such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. That's harsh. That's harsh. That when you ask and you have divided, like, oh, I don't know if I trust God or if I'm going to trust what they, you know, this divided, he says, don't expect you're going to get anything. Doesn't that seem harsh? I mean, it's a tough statement. And he goes on, he says, because they're unstable in everything they do. They're wishy-washy. They can't make up their mind. They're seasick. You know, they're seasick, spiritually seasick. You know, that when that word's used over throughout the scriptures, half the time it's used of unstable, and the other time it's used of restless, being restless. They're just restless. You know, the trials and purposes of trials, as we talked a little bit about last week, is that we can learn to trust God's wisdom in the middle of that trial. Do you remember last week? that in the middle of trials, it said, consider it pure joy when you go through trials, because the trials test your faith. And as the trials test your faith, who are you going to trust in? Then what it does is builds perseverance. And perseverance ultimately then makes you a more complete person. And so part of the purposes of trials, why God allows them, why they come our way, is part of it is, are we going to trust God's wisdom or are we going to trust our own wisdom? Are we going to trust God's wisdom or are we going to trust the wisdom of the world? What are we going to trust in? See, the world's way is kind of like this. The wisdom in the world's way is really about knowledge, about perspective, and then about, what the result being. You know, that's kind of how it is. So the world would say, if you know the right things, you see the right things, and you have experience in a situation, you know, some sort of experience in the situation, then you're going to make wise decisions. That's what the world would say. God's perspective, wisdom comes from somewhere else. Wisdom, it's the root of wisdom, the foundation of wisdom is this thing called the fear of the Lord. Who are we going to respect? Who are we going to be in awe of? Who's going to get our honor? Who do we, and there is an element of fear to it. This, the fear of the Lord. So Solomon said this, again, part of the Proverbs he collected. Solomon said, the fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Or he said this, the fear of the Lord teaches us wisdom. It's this whole idea that there's wisdom. You know, the fear of the Lord and God's wisdom doesn't come from finances. It doesn't come from book smarts. It doesn't come even from street smarts. It comes, and its root, the foundation of it, is in this idea of the fear of the Lord. And so wisdom in the scriptures mostly has to do with attitudes and behaviors, and it's asking, how do I respond to this? How do I respond? What's my choices I'm going to make? John Dixon says this, wisdom is knowing how to live God's way in God's world. That's what wisdom is knowing how to live God's way in God's world. You know, too often when we're in the middle of a trial, rather than asking for wisdom, we want wisdom about this trial and to go through the trial. We want to get out of the trial, don't we? I mean, we just want to figure out the quickest way to get out of the trial. And, you know, however I can get out of it, let me get out of it quick. And I was reminded this week of a quote Bill Criswell has quoted. I don't know how many times I've heard you quote this, Bill, over the years. Bill quoted from Bob Mumford, and it goes like this, and it's up on the screen. When God, and I have to read it because otherwise I'll mess it up, but when God fixes a fix to fix you, and you fix the fix before it fixes you, God has to fix another fix to fix you. Some of you are still staring at it like, I don't get it. I don't know how many times I've heard you say that over the 20 years I've known you, Bill, but he uses this line. When God fixes a fix to fix you, we try to get out of it. We just want to get out of it as quick as we can, as painless as we can. That's what we want to do. So, but when God fixes a fix to fix you, and you fix the fix before it fixes you, God's got to fix another fix to fix you. See, James doesn't say here, figure out how to get out of the trial. He says to ask God for wisdom. And then, in the trial, ask God. Now, I'm not, again, go back to last week. I'm not saying we go looking for trials. I mean, the idea of trials here is something that happens to you, not that you go looking for. Okay? You don't need to go looking for trials. They'll come your way. But in the midst of that trial, he doesn't say, you know, figure out how to get out of it, but instead, he asks for wisdom in the middle of the trial. Whatever the trial is, ask for wisdom in the middle of it. Here would be some of those things that wisdom would provide. Seeing what God's purpose in the trial you are facing is. So you're in the middle of a trial, and maybe God's got a purpose. Oh, because oftentimes if we'll go through the trial afterwards, we may not even understand in the middle of it, but after the trial's over, we look back and go, oh, now I get it. Now I get it. I mean, over the years, all the different things, jobs I've done, you know, like work with painting and carpet and driving equipment, building fence, all of these things. I mean, God has all of them like, why am I doing this. You know, I don't want to be out here in the cold building a corral. I want to be doing ministry, you know, kind of thing. But instead, all of those things, in some way, God has used over the years in my life. I didn't see it at the moment. I was just like, you know, grumbling. Anybody ever grumble? Okay, but grumbling in the middle of it, like, I don't want to be doing this. Like, and then to only find out later that God was going to use what I learned. God was going to use that. Or is this trial to reveal a weakness in me? Okay, some testing is like, just think of those guys that make the bridges out of balsa wood, and then they put weights on them to see where the weakness is. So is he trying to reveal to me a weakness? Or is it a thing where he's trying to burn away the dross? Is God showing me a weakness or creating perseverance? How should I react? How is God trying to make me, the inside of me, look the same as the outside of me? Because oftentimes we can be pretty good about putting the outside in order. Right? Put on the mask, make it all like, I mean, like you're having a fight with your spouse. No, nobody in our church fights with their spouse, but you might happen to be having a fight with your spouse, and then the phone rings, and you pick up your cell phone and answer it, and how your voice changed. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Like this aggravated, I'm so glad you called. So God's purposes in trials sometimes is to make the inside match the outside. Because he's really more concerned about what? The outside or the inside? The inside. The inside. So trials come for that. And whose wisdom am I going to trust in? Whose wisdom? Let me see, the world's wisdom and God's wisdom are two different things. Oftentimes. World's wisdom comes again from, you know, do you got understanding and all, you know, the whole thing. God's comes from a whole other angle. Let me just walk you through a little chart I made up. And it's not up on your screen. If you want it, I can give it to you. But worldly wisdom says this: get even and make them pay. That's what worldly wisdom says. I mean, I was talking to someone this week and they go, wow, we live in such a litigious society. Well, why? Because someone has to pay. We're going to make someone pay. That's just the bottom line. We're going to make someone pay. What does God say? Just forgive. He just says forgive. He actually says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he says it would be better for you to be wronged than to do this. That's what he actually says. It would be better for you just to walk away having been wronged than in essence get even on this thing. Or how about the worldly wisdom says find someone to blame. What does God's wisdom say? Take responsibility. Take responsibility. That's what God's wisdom says. Or worldly wisdom says, get all you can and hold on to it. What does God's wisdom say? Give. Just give. Be generous and give. Or how about the worldly wisdom says, show off so everyone will know how generous you are. Make sure everybody knows how much you gave. What does God's wisdom say? God's wisdom says give what? In secret. Give in secret. Don't make a show of it. That's what God's wisdom says. Or how about worldly wisdom says treat others the way you want the way they treat you. That's what the worldly wisdom says. That's what our world says. But get them. Sick them. That's what the world says. What God says is treat others the way you want to be treated. That's what God's wisdom says. Or how about worldly wisdom says do what makes you happy. Just do what makes you happy. Do what pleases you. What does God's wisdom say? Do what pleases what? The Lord. Do what pleases the Lord. That's what you do, not what pleases you. Do what pleases the Lord. Or how about the world says beauty and sensuality rule. I mean, the whole media world is made up of that. That beauty and sensuality rules the world. What does godly wisdom say? The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit is of great worth in God's sight. Or how about worldly wisdom says, hate your enemy, or in essence, hate those who hate you. Godly wisdom says, love your enemy. Worldly wisdom says, talk bad about those who talk bad about you. What does God say? God says, bless those who curse you. Bless them. Speak well of them. That's what the scriptures say. You and it also goes on to say, you're going to be judged for every careless word that comes out of your mouth. Ouch. Ouch. Or how about worldly wisdom? Sex is where it's at. The Bible talks much more about purity in that area of life than anything else. It's about purity. Or how about just in the whole world of, you know, confidence and ego and branding, you know, all the stuff about branding yourself. And if you're in business or, you know, and even preachers, I mean, they get all this stuff about you need to brand yourself. Well, when did Jesus ever say, preacher, brand yourself? He says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of the Lord. I mean, there's godly wisdom and there's worldly wisdom. And he says, in the middle of this trial, so if you're in a parenting trial right now, if you're in a financial trial, if you're in a business trial, if you're in a, you know, a health trial, you're in a, you know, homeowners association trial. Anybody ever have a homeowners association trials? Okay, if you're in a homeowner association trial, doesn't matter what it is. He says, ask for wisdom, and God will give it to you. This generous God will give it to you, and he won't ridicule you or mock you for asking. You know, I can't tell you how many times over all the years that I've been pastoring, you know, someone will come in, a couple will come in, an individual will come in, and they, you know, they want to talk to me about something, want to ask me for advice, whatever it happens to be. And I hear them tell their story, or I hear them talk about what they're going through, and I am totally bamboozled as to what the answer is. You guys know what bamboozled means? You know, like you just like, I don't have a clue. I just have no understanding. And so under my breath, I'll just say, Lord, I mean, I can picture myself right now, Lord, you got to give me wisdom. Because these people come and asking for some counsel and some help, some support. And I just go, oh, Lord, you got to give me some wisdom because I have no idea what the answer to their complicated dilemma is. But what did he say? He said, when you ask, you got to what? Trust that he's giving it to you. You're not trusting in, you know, some other wisdom. But you're trusting that the Lord's going to give you that wisdom. And anytime, you know, I regularly just, Lord, help me. So anytime we're facing a trial, and last week a whole bunch of you stood, said, I'm in a trial right now. The very first response when you're in a trial is, Lord, you got to give me wisdom. And sometimes the Lord gives you wisdom to get out of the trial. Okay? Now, again, we want to get out of the trial. Sometimes the Lord gives us wisdom to get out of the trial. So that's sometimes the answer. That's sometimes the wisdom the Lord gives. But maybe the wisdom is something totally different the Lord has. But the first response has to be to ask for wisdom. God, give me wisdom. And then realizing he's going to give it generously and he's going to do it without ridiculing. Now, here becomes the hard part. You're in the middle of the trial, and or the trial's coming on, and you ask him, you ask God for wisdom, then sometimes the hard part is you got to wait for him to give the wisdom. You got to wait. So if I could give you some wisdom here, is when you ask, wait, don't rush in. Don't rush in. Because sometimes what happens is we ask, but God doesn't answer immediately because he's using the trial. We ask, and God doesn't answer immediately, so we rush in and come up with our own solution to the problem. So just by a show of hands, anybody ever make a problem worse by putting their own solution to the problem? See, waiting's hard, isn't it? Waiting's hard. But wait wait for one of two things. Wait until the answer comes, the solution, the wisdom comes, or until you have to make a decision. I don't know how many times over the time again that I've pastored, I'll just say to someone, don't make a decision until you have to make a decision. You know, a couple's going through a struggle and, you know, someone wants to immediately, you know, do this or do that. And I go, you know, don't make a decision until you have to make a decision. You know, they're in a financial struggle and someone wants to immediately, you know, let's just say claim bankruptcy. And I'll just say, don't make a decision until you have to make a decision. Someone's wrestling with a family member, a parent, a grandparent, whoever's wrestling with a family member who's wrestling with their gender identity or their sexuality, that whole thing that's going on in our culture. I can't tell you how many times I've said to someone, don't make a decision until you have to make a decision. Because people want to make a decision, and sometimes they make the decision, and it makes matters worse rather than waiting until you have to, till either you have an answer or until God, until God gives you an answer or until you have to make a decision about it. Does that make sense? But too often what we do is, so we might be in the habit of asking God for wisdom. And we ask God for wisdom and then he doesn't microwave it our way, you know, like, there it is, you know, the answer. So then we just jump in and we make our own answer. We come up with our own solution. So my encouragement to you would be, ask as soon as that trial. And again, many of you stood last week saying you're in a trial. In the middle of that trial, the very first thing is, God, you gotta give me understanding. Maybe you're not in that habit. Get in the habit of asking. But then let God have time to bring you the answer. And it might surprise you where that answer comes from. It might surprise you. Let's stand together. Lord, I know from the reality of life that there's all kinds of people in this church, in this room, online, joining us online, who are heading into a trouble. They don't even know it's coming, but something's going to come this week or this month. They're in the middle of a trial or a trouble right now. They're struggling through a relationship thing, a finance thing, a health situation, a business situation, a neighborhood situation, a parenting, a grandparenting, whatever it happens to be. And there's others, the Lord, have just come out. I pray for everybody who's on the front end and in the middle. Lord, teach us how to ask you for wisdom. And then to teach us what it looks like to trust you, to not be wishy-washy, to not, you know, one time going to trust in the world's ways about it, one time God's ways, but we would put ourselves completely wrapped, as Gloria said, wrapped around the vine in your wisdom, the wisdom you have for us in the middle of the trial we're in. And God, thank you that you're generous with your wisdom. Thank you that you don't ridicule us for the need of wisdom and that we would ask for wisdom, that you would somehow mock us over asking, but that you just give out of your generous nature. You provide wisdom for us. And so God, pray for those that are, again, heading in or they're in a trial right now. We ask together right this moment, we ask for wisdom, specific wisdom for the specific trial that they find themselves in, that we find ourselves in. I got trials that I'm going through. And I need your wisdom, Father, wisdom to know exactly how to respond, exactly what the decisions that need to be made are. And I'm trusting you. We're trusting you. We're committed to trusting you to give us the wisdom out of your generous nature and out of the fact that you care. So we bless you now. Thank you that you're going to provide wisdom. And Lord, we look forward to hearing some stories from people about how you open a door of wisdom. So we bless you now. In Jesus' name, can you say amen? So, ask for wisdom, wait for wisdom, don't move until you have to move or until God gives you the wisdom. God bless you. Go have a great afternoon.